friends. This is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie Podcast, CheekCast episode 26. And I am so excited. I'm on with a friend that I haven't actually known all that long, and we met through friends and a mutual love for Jesus and yoga. Rachel Phillips, welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to have you on. So I have to tell you, I listened to both the episode with you and the one with your husband on our dear friend Sue Bidstrip's Great Big Yes podcast. And I was like, I need to talk to her because I just loved how authentic you were on there, as well as your husband, as you all have been navigating anxiety. And that is really near and dear to my heart. As many listeners know, I have three major causes, along with the other social justice stuff that's happening around us. And it's mental illness is one of them. And just this idea of so many people feel othered and marginalized if they struggle mm-hmm. with anxiety and depression and anything else. And many people seek to self-medicate because so many people are, you know, struggling with this. So Rachel, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and introduce yourself to listeners?
Sure. Let's see. I am a 37-year-old mom of three kids right now. They're 11, 9, and 7. And my husband and I have been married for 17 years. And I stay at home right now with them. I've taught on and off yoga, and also my background's in massage therapy.
Nice.
And I love essential oils.
Me
that's
too.
That's been a lifesaver on many occasions. So I've always been really interested in the body. But then recently got more interested in the soul, spirit, and then mind area, and trying to get it, integrate it all together, because realizing we're not just a body.
That's so true. I mean, I love that it's, I don't know if you know this, Rachel, but I'm a pre-med post-bac student. And so I have recently started to teach anatomy and physiology for a yoga teacher training called Z-Flow Power Yoga. And I started for the first time last month, and this month, actually Saturday, I'm going to be in Maui teaching. We have some teacher trainees, 60 of them, in Maui in Hawaii. And I'm so excited.
Wow. That must be a hard job venue.
You know what? It is, but you know what? I am so grateful for the way we were created. Like, I just feel like it's such a beautiful thing, how the body works, as you mm-hmm. mentioned, you know, and you know, it as a massage therapist and as a yoga mm-hmm. teacher as well, and a practitioner, it's like, how does the body move, and how are some people able to do certain things and others have maybe challenges in that area? And same thing for mind, and spirit. And so as I'm thinking about, you know, getting through my prerequisites and taking the MCAT and applying for med schools, so many med schools now are looking at the entire picture of an applicant, mm-hmm. right? The holistic, mm-hmm. And that's why I love essential oils as well. It's like a holistic, instead of just going to the doctor and getting a prescription, which I have no problems with that. So friends, right. hear my heart. If that is what's needed, please, please,
absolutely.
Please do what is needed for you and what's best for you and your family. And family I use loosely, right? And at the same time, I feel incredibly empowered to be able to use essential oils in terms of like mood management and just, you know, having a bad day, you know, whatever right. that means, whatever that looks like, it's like there's an oil for that.
Right.
And there may need to be more. So anyway, right. Rachel, tell us. So one of the reasons I was listening to your podcast is because, like I mentioned earlier, I am deeply troubled, and my soul is grieved at how our country treats people with mental illness. And friends, mm-hmm. mental illness is it's a spectrum, just like so many other things. And so mm-hmm. it can be anxiety, it can be OCD, it can be bipolar disorder, it can be multiple personality disorders, or mm-hmm. and more, right? Depression is in there as well. And so even within those, there are spectrums too. And so you were sharing candidly about your own journey with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so can you walk us through what some of that looks like as we, as you and I have a conversation about that? Because I know that, you know, I've been privileged to have so many amazing guests on, and this is such a young podcast. And I know that every single word that's uttered on this podcast and all the other episodes serves a greater purpose and can be helpful to another human being. And if it's just one person, I am so grateful to be able to be here. So tell us just a little bit more about yourself and some of your journey.
Okay. I feel like it's evolved, you know, anxiety.
Sure.
Where sometimes people can, you know, look at the person with their legs shaking or their, you know, like little like anxious physical habits and like, oh, they're talking fast or they must be an anxious person. And so early on, I start saying, because early on when I was six, it started about when I was six. It was an immediate like separation anxiety fear when I started school. My grandpa had died traumatically. He got and I haven't started putting all that together until now, you know. And I remember being in the car with my mom and grandma and them, but I was six and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. And it was a, you know, it was a traumatic death. And so, I'm a very sensitive person. So sort of even feeling that energy from people, like taking on people's energy and, you know, it affects me. And so early on, the anxiety started as a fear, like a fear of losing a loved one. And so I would be sad a lot or crying a lot. And so it looked like at six, kindergarten, first, second grade, she's just a crybaby, you know? And those were the kind of words that were attached to me, not by my parents, because they really saw the struggle at home. And they're like, this is fear. There's a spirit of fear here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my peers and my cousins and, you know, neighbors, like, she's just a crybaby. She's, you know, and so once I started hearing those kind of words and feeling like misunderstood, it took a while. It probably took like maybe when I was like in fifth grade that kind of soft sadness fear, which I think if I would have known how to get the help, then would have been more helpful than how it evolved next. Cause then anxiety evolved into anger and like rage. And so all of a sudden I'm like, you know, hey, I'm strong. You guys can't make fun of me anymore. I can beat you up.
Sure.
Like, you know, so it turned into this like tough girl kind of front, like, don't mess with me. I need to protect myself. But it was still an anxiety. Like this, the underlining thing was a fear. But fear from in our culture, especially is like, it's weak, you know. Don't be afraid. Everything you want's on the other side of fear. Like all of these
cliches.
You know, all of these cliches, all these quotes that you're like, oh my gosh, like I am afraid. That means I'm never, you know. And so if I actually admit that I'm afraid, I feel powerless. But I still have this anxiety in my body. What do I do with it in my brain? So I sort of shifted from fear to anger and from fear and sadness to anger. And it was like, oh, anger feels a lot more empowering. You know, I can totally protect myself. And if I work on my body enough to get enough strength in my body, I can actually physically keep people away from me, which I want to do. And so it turned, you know, maybe in a 10-year period there from like 11 to more, longer than that. It was a long period that this, like, I wanted to be known as strong. And so, and then strong, and then like the life of the party. So anxiety came out, like, I'd be like, hey guys, you know, everybody, like, have a good time. And so I would hide. There was a lot of hiding. And so when actually the anxiety like I had an outburst of anger or rage or a meltdown of I'm the life of the party, and then all of a sudden I start crying. Mm-hmm. People are like, whoa, what's wrong with her? She's crazy. Like, how did that just, how did that just flip? But for me, it was like, I'm not crazy. I'm always anxious and I'm always afraid. You guys just don't see it because I'm working really hard to cover it. And it's not, it wasn't just my friends. It was the church, you know, like if you express, you know, anger, if I expressed anger, they'd be like, hey, you need to calm down. Don't be angry. You need to love people. Okay. You're right. I need to love someone. But it was also like, if I expressed fear or unbelief or sadness, then there was questioning in my mind growing up in a church, in a, you know, in a charismatic, reformed, you know, it was a weird mix, but it was, I had in the 80s, there was a time where it was like, you just need to have self-control. You need to trust God. Emotions are bad. Emotion, you know. And so I'm like, holy, you know, crap. I don't fit in here. Even though I know I love Jesus. I know I love God and I love other people, but I don't fit in here. So there was, on top of anxiety, a feeling of not fitting in. Mm-hmm. Like, where do I belong? Because in the world, I'm like, like sort of a, you know, flake. Like I can't focus. I can get stuff done, but then I can't. And then in the church, I'm like lack of self-control, over emotional. Where do I fit in here? And so there was that sense of depression that came in, you know, on the backside of the anxiety. My body was starting to get really tired of trying to keep this up. And then, you know, it's just the depression comes in. And I really now at 37 feel like they were teachers. If I would have slowed down and be like, why am I, if I knew how to not be afraid of my emotions, then like, okay, I'm depressed. God is trying to tell me something. My body is trying to tell me something. I pushed through it.
Yeah. I love that because, one thing that people don't recognize is that bystander trauma is a real thing, you know, and this idea of some people, I'm this way as well. It sounds like you are. My sister is empaths, right? Where you literally are really connected with other people around you. You feel a lot of what they're feeling. Someone walks into the room, right? And you can totally sense their energy. And it doesn't have to be someone that you've ever even met before. And empaths generally tend to be highly sensitive, and many are introverted, not necessarily. Many are really intuitive and need that time away from others because that sucks them energetically. Yes. And it's so, you know, because you're right, we're learning so much more. Like, trauma stays in the body. So if you're not feeling well, like, it makes sense. And people don't understand that some people are more sensitive. Like, I was also a very sensitive child. And and then I ended up getting bullied. So that didn't help the situation at all, you know. And I felt very silenced. And I also was, when I was younger, so that I was bullied in seventh grade, but when I was eight, I was sexually abused by a in quote family friend. And so that silencing and that sensitivity, like all of this kind of, I say it led up to a perfect storm. And so, right. It sounds like that was similar to your story too. And so for me, I developed, amongst other things, an eating disorder because that was one thing that I could control. And it's like when you said that you found anger and, you know, I'm so sick of the church. I'm sick of the church right now for many reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is like this notion of you just need more Jesus. Like if, like as if, and that's one of the reasons I don't, that I speak out and speak up against sexual assault and domestic violence, because there's such victim shaming and victim blaming. And the same thing happens with mental illness. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's someone else's fault, right?
Right.
Like you can look things up. You can educate yourself. You can get some lived experience from someone that may be suffering. And so I get really tired of it. And that's why the way I look at it, I have people that are brave and empowered and encouraging on this podcast, because if I don't lend a voice to someone that's actually has lived experience, then this is just theory. We're just talking, right? We're just reading out of a book. And now someone else has the power to paint a picture of what your life is. They tell the story instead of you telling your own story. And I'm just, I'm tired of that. Like, it, no more. Not on my watch. It's unacceptable to me, you know, personally and professionally, for me not to lend my voice or me not to hear someone else's real story, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
well, and I think it's very therapeutic, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk, you know, and as it evolved, and I'm really hoping that this can help someone out there, because it, when you get older, you're not only changing, like, you know, 'cause you're pre-med, it's like, you're not, your hormones are changing, your enzymes are changing, your amino, everything's changing.
That's
so like where I could, as a younger kid, sort of handle it, quote unquote, handle it better. I'm older now. And so my body, it's not only just my, you know, brain like flipping out, 'cause I'm like, ah, it's my my body's like actually going through some things that are, you know, challenging. And so then it complicates, like you're saying, like the perfect storm. And so now I have, you know, all traumatic stuff from my childhood coming up. My marriage that we were separated for a while. We're still married. It's, you know, we've been through 3 years and I'm still with my counselor every other week, you know, and, but now that I have this space where I can work on all this stuff mentally and emotionally. And so now, but now I have to actually be taking supplements and medicine for my body, because my body needs that support, and it's totally fine. And I was like, bucked that for forever, like Western medicine. No, I don't want to be on, antidepressants or anti-anxiety or anything. But for my perfect storm that just happened in October, I was praying for peace. I was like, God, I'm on the floor in my shower, like literally praying, like, I don't want to live anymore. I just want to die. I can't handle all of this, pain that I feel. And it's so funny. It's like, if people looked at my life, they'd be like, wow, you're so ungrateful. You're such an ungrateful diva or whatever, because you have it all together, or you have everything. You have loving kids, a loving husband. But the way God's made me, I mean, I was feeling like, yes, I need it. And then that doesn't help, because that makes me feel guilty.
Sure.
Right? On top of, and so I'm laying there all by myself. No one's even talking to me, but all the thoughts and all of the, you know, words I've heard in the past. And it's like, you know, just get up, stop being lazy, stop being ungrateful, stop being, you know. And then it's like, well, I can't stop that. That's how I feel. I feel like one day, you know, it's all going to be taken away from me anyways. There is sin in the world. There is evil in the world. So yes, I might be experiencing good right here in my life, but all of that is happening around us and I feel it. I literally feel it. Like, and it's a hard, well, for you, it's not a hard thing to understand, but that being highly sensitive, you know, on top of having anxiety is like, whoa, it's literally takes all your energy to get through a day.
Sure.
And you're exhausted at night.
Well, so, and Rachel, I feel like it doesn't help when people don't understand around you either, right? Because it's like almost feeling the need to explain yourself. And people aren't as kind as we would have them be sometimes. So you do get questions like, why aren't you looking at this differently? And I agree with flipping perspective. And I think you would agree with that too. But when there's mental illness and anxiety or depression or anything like else. It's not just that, like, sometimes people think, you know, and I had on here two of my friends that are doctors. One has a PhD, one has a doctorate in psychology, and, mm-hmm. They both work with patient, like clients, right. And do, therapy. But we were talking because one of them, we went through a yoga teacher training together, and mm-hmm. we were saying how we sometimes are ambivalent about posting some of those things. And I'm sure you've seen those, like those memes where it's like, you can turn today around right away. You know, those sort of things yeah. are like the cliches that we were talking about. Like fear is just, faith is on the other side. Like that sort right. of stuff that under yeah. normal circumstances, and I mean like more widely, those things are great because they are a reminder that
right.
we do have a lot in our control. And then mm-hmm. also when you think about it, when there are deeper rooted issues and situations that we may or may not know is occurring,
mm-hmm.
it's not that simple, you know?
Right. Well, and I think I am learning like this. It was just like an onion being peeled, you know, all the layers, yeah, like
totally.
anger's gone, which was the scariest thing. Cause I'm like, I'm not angry anymore. Like I'm not angry at the people I love. Cause I would use anger to self sabotage. Mm-hmm. So I am angry at the things that are injustice in the world, but I'm not angry to protect myself.
Totally.
And so now and all I feel,
and I just want to honor that. That's a righteous anger. Mm-hmm. I really believe like the social justice and the things that are happening where we're hurting one another. That is something, yeah. you know, I'm with
oh,
you.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. If I see a kid getting hit by their parent or something, I'm like, oh no, I'll go up there and I will, that anger, that righteous anger will come out and be like, hey, to protect someone. But I mean, the anger that I was feeling totally. Before was like, oh, I'm angry. I need to get angry at my husband because he's eventually going to cheat on me right. and a marriage is eventually going to fall apart. So I just need to self-sabotage
right.
and get angry that he doesn't pick up his clothes and just start a big old fight about that.
Sure.
You know, which he would never get until I started telling him, it's not that I'm angry. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay. Like and that was very humbling. So, but now that I don't have that anger towards him or my kids or my in-laws or my family, God's done a lot of like spiritual work as an unforgiveness. Like I had a lot of unforgiveness mm-hmm. in my heart. And so during October, when I had that panic episode that lasted a good 2 to 3 weeks and I had to go to the hospital, I felt like literally a shift happened from fear to love, but it took, like nobody told me. I was just meditating. I was journaling. I was reading scripture and listening to music and shifting that what if this bad happens to what if actually people love me? Mm-hmm. What if they aren't going to leave me? What if they are going to love me? You yeah. know, and anyone, my counselor, you know, people, a pastor, someone could have told me and probably has told me lots of times, well, Rachel, just change your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this journey that I'm on. And when God opened my eyes to that and being like, I need to ask these people for forgiveness, because I feel like part of the fear is I've not forgiven. So there's anxiety, but there's also, you know, unforgiveness on top of that and anger. And so that complicates things. And now that I'm, I feel like God, I'm in a, let's see, it's February, so it's October. I've been doing a lot of work on just being still and trying to be in the moment, even though my brain's like, we're all going to die. Oh my gosh.
Sure.
I'm like, will you just enjoy like the moment?
Totally. Well, I want to add something too. So Rachel and I were talking on the pre-call that many of you all have heard me talk about with my guests, and she had listened to a previous podcast. I think it may have been episode 5. I'm not sure, but I was pretty emotional because I was thinking about how I could have perished, how I could have lost my life in the mm-hmm. accident, right? And mm-hmm. she was sharing with me an experience, a similar experience, but she was flying with her kids, and there was turbulence that she's never experienced flying before, and how she was the voice of reason and the calm in the storm for not only her children, but a Spanish-speaking couple that had never flown before, and she was mm-hmm. assisting them with her broken Spanish and just trying to be the love that they needed at that time, the comfort, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. how she was thinking about what's the greater good. And so if you can just mm-hmm. share a little bit about that and tie it to today, I would love to yes. hear that before we have to get off, because yes. we could talk for so long, forever.
Yes. Yes, I have flown a lot. But the turbulence was like constant for at least 40 minutes, and it was like dropping, like drops where everyone's like, wah, screaming. And
sure.
So I was praying while I was trying to keep everyone else calm around me. I was freaking out inside, but I was literally making a deal with God and saying, God, if you get us down alive from this plane, I will do anything that you want me to do. I mean, anything, just name it, I'll do anything. And that was August. And so we get down alive, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to do this huge, you know, work that God has for me. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be world changing, you know, it's going to go viral, whatever. And so nothing happens. My sister has to leave drastically. So there's another trauma. I'm abandoned. You know, I wasn't like, God, okay, you can take my sister from me. Mm-hmm. So now I have no family around me. And then again, I was trying to help my kids because they were going through sadness of their cousins leaving.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to comfort them and bring perspective to them. And like, it's okay. She needs to be gone. It's better for her and the kids. But I didn't grieve. I didn't process it. I'm still waiting for God to have me do this amazing work. And that was the end of August. And then September school starts. We try to hit the road, you know, like the floor running, like, okay, kids in karate and gymnastics, maybe my kids are going to be, you know, Olympic athletes. Maybe that's the big thing I'm going to do, sacrifice my life while I drive them around everywhere. No, doesn't happen. I exhaust myself, right? Like literally exhausting myself. And then October comes and I get together with all my holy yoga sisters in Florida for the first time and like really feeling like this is okay. Maybe this is what God has me to do. Go visit a friend that got out of a mental hospital because he was suicidal that week before I had my panic attack. And I'm like, this is what God's calling me to do, is to go reach out to people that are really hurting. Mm-hmm. But you know, so I'm like, okay, God, just waiting for that. What are you doing to me? And then the next week, God has me on the floor, like in my shower, just not able. I feel paralyzed, you know, sure. and I feel like the world is crashing in on me. And I felt like, why is this what you want me to do? You know, I don't want this. Never mind. I take it back.
Right.
If this is what you want me to do, I don't want to. But I mean, it was so humbling. My friend comes over because my husband did not know what to do, because usually I'd be really angry. Like I'd mm-hmm. find something to be angry about. And I had no anger. I had deep, deep sadness and intense fear. And so he's never seen that. And I've never experienced it at that level without anger coming in to rescue me.
Sure.
And so he calls my friend over, and she comes over, and I'm in my dark room sitting there like a crazy person. I haven't been able to get out of bed and just crying and afraid to get out of bed. And she's like holding my hand, and she's I don't know what to do or say. And she's just holding my hand, and I'm crying, and I'm telling her, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of everything. I'm afraid of my kids. I'm afraid of this house. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my mind and go crazy. And she walked with me through that experience, and I thought, wow, I'm never going to hear from her again because she's going to think I'm such a weak person. Three weeks ago, she calls me. Her 10-year-old boy is having anxiety attacks, panic attacks. And she's like, I'm so grateful that I saw you walk through that because it gives me hope to help my son. And I know that, you know, I know that I can help him because I saw you walk through that, and I know that he can get through this too. So I'm like, oh God, what are you? This is okay. I don't know what you're doing, but if you want me to help parents or help people just feel like they're not alone during a panic attack, anxiety attack, a parent that doesn't understand their child. I have had a couple of parents call me recently and just say, I need you to help me because my teenager is starting to go through panic attacks and I don't know what to do.
Sure.
And I said, okay, first of all, don't tell them I will help you, but don't tell them just to get out of bed. They're being lazy.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, just let them, there's something going on, and to get to the bottom of it, they could be being bullied at school. They could have got sexually abused and not told anyone.
Sure.
So like trying to see this anxiety and this depression and panic as a gift from God, like this is a gift to go deeper in your life and to help other people go deeper in their life. It's not to be you're not to fear it, but when I feel that now, it's like, what, it's slowing me down for a reason. And if that reason is because I need to connect with my kids more and not be driving around like a crazy woman to all these activities, but actually sit on the bed and have a laughing contest with them, you know, like let's stare at each other and see who laughs first. Some people would be like, well, that was, you know, you didn't get anything. That wasn't productive. But I'm like, I connected with my children today on a level that they want that our relationship is being deepened, and they want a relationship with me, and I want a relationship with them, and that's worth more at medals than they can ever get, you know. So just learning how to validate people when we don't understand them, and to sit and comfort them when we don't understand them, has been huge. And I feel I've prayed for so long. I just want to love without being so angry. And now that I love without being so angry, when you actually get to that place, it's very vulnerable. Like it feels very vulnerable and very scary, but I feel like God saying, I mean, God did that. He loves us.
That's right.
And we hurt him over and over, over and over again.
It's so true. I love what you just shared about empathy, you know, and compassion, because I think that's one of the things we're lacking the most right now is this, you know, empathy and compassion. And if I don't know what to say to someone because they're struggling, I say that. I don't need to pretend like I have the right answers. I just say, I really don't know what to say. Just know that I'm with you always and forever. I am here. If you want to talk about this or not talk about this, please reach out. And if you're not reaching out to me, please make sure you're reaching out to someone, because you're loved, you know, as you're going through this. And yeah, no, it's definitely true. There was something that you said, and I'm trying to remember, and it will come back to me when we hang up. I know it, 'cause that's always, oh yes. I love that you didn't even use the word self-care, but you did demonstrate it. Yesterday I was supposed to be on a social media call for a political movement in which I'm a part. And you know what, Rachel? I was just done. Like I was honestly and not done with them at all. I love them. I was just done with the day, and not in any nefarious way. Just I needed to check out for a little bit, take a hot shower, and just be still. And that's right. exactly, that's the only thing I needed, right?
Right.
And so I just sent a message to the two people that are heading it up. And I just said, I'm self-caring right now. I won't be on the call. I'm preparing to leave for Hawaii in a couple days. And I will keep, like, I'll catch up at a later time. Or I'll get caught up on a later time. And that is not what I used to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
I used to break my neck, like you said. And I think that's part of it. It's like empaths tend to want to always be engaged in something, doing something, even though it wears us out.
Yes.
And so it's like, I don't feel like I'm really contributing to society if I'm not in 14 different places all day long, you know?
Right.
And that's not really helpful to me or to anyone else, because at event number 10, you know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
What am I really bringing to the table, you know?
Right. Right.
Besides a little, like, maybe frustration and annoyance, like,
right.
and that's not helpful. So I've been slowly, you know, eliminating certain things. It might be on my calendar, but it might not happen the day of.
Yeah.
And I'm totally okay with that. And I didn't used to be. And I don't know if you know, but I've just recently started to feel a lot better. I had pneumonia and laryngitis for over 3 weeks. And it's like a lingering, those two are lingering, you know, like my voice is still not 100%. And I still wheeze from time to time when I never used to. And I still get fatigued pretty easily. And so my mom will complain and she's like, you never rest. And I'm like, oh, yes, I do. And she's like, no, you don't. Because she's like, if I'm like on the phone with her, like, what are you doing now? You know,
she can hear you. She can hear you moving around. Yeah. What are you doing? Be still. Yeah.
And so it's such a challenge, right? Because I think sometimes when people struggle, and I've had panic attacks, I've had one panic attack and almost another, and you literally feel like you're dying. And I'm so grateful that I had them, because I feel more compassion for people that have had them more often than I have. And, and that's not a normal response. So I'm fully aware, you know, that a lot of people that are undergoing a lot of stress or, things, that's not normally where our bodies go. And so it's indicative of a larger issue that needs to be addressed. Would you agree? Right.
And so, oh yeah.
So it's, and I say that, and I'm very mindful of my words, not saying that it in and of itself is abnormal, only that response is not normal for our bodies.
Right.
And so we just need to take a look at it. And I love what you said about, like, what is God asking me to take a look at right now, or the divine or spirit, whatever, you know, your power that's greater than yourself, that your source, what you call that.
Right.
And so we call God, but I use divine as well and spirit, but it's just like, it's time for me to slow down and assess the situation and see what's going on, right?
Yes.
Okay, so in these last few moments, because we do have to wrap up and I'm so sad about it. So friends,
I know, I want to talk forever.
I'm sure you loved hearing Rachel and her story. Rachel, you'll have to come on again at another time when we'll talk and check in with you and where you're at currently.
Okay.
And it sounds like, just in a wrap up, that, you know, you're still utilizing talk therapy, which is awesome, essential oils. So friends, I'm just naming off different resources that you have at your disposal, listening to podcasts where people are talking about something that you're experiencing or a loved one is experiencing can be helpful. And then talking, like if you have a child in school, talking to see the school counselor, or sometimes schools have social workers. Same thing with a hospital. Speaking with a social worker at the hospital to see what community resources are available. If insurance is an issue, please make sure that they're initiating Medicaid. And so I'm saying this as we have a new administration, some of this stuff may change. Fortunately, unfortunately, it is what it is. And so some of this stuff may change. So just be mindful of what resources are available currently as you listen to it, whatever the current time is. And that's how we get to, as constituents, have a voice as well. If these are issues that are concerning to you, then we need to communicate this to our elected officials so that they know what's important to us as they are representing us in Washington, D.C. Because a lot of times people, when there's stigma attached, there's usually silence, and people usually are silenced, and they don't, then they start to be invisible and because they're marginalized and set to the side. And so people don't think to include them in the conversation, which is completely inappropriate. Right. So just some things that you can do that are in your control, so that you can get the help you need, and then talking to your primary care provider so that they can help you navigate as well, and keep talking to them until they listen to you, because that's sometimes an issue, is doctors don't always listen, sadly, which is one of the reasons I want to get into the medical field as a provider. And then also take a look at non-traditional holistic options like essential oils, and then don't discount traditional, more Western modalities as well, like medication, if that's if that's what you need, because it's important for you to take care of yourself, because if you are not here because you were in such great pain that you made a decision to take your own life, we can't hear your voice. So please, friends, take care of yourself. We love that you are listening to this podcast. Rachel, thank you so much for being on.
I just
love you, and I love your humble spirit. And that I hope you know how important your words are. So
thank you so much.
My pleasure. So we are going to read a couple stories. I told Rachel about our tradition, friends. So we'll read a couple stories. We'll end with a little prayer, and then we'll be on our way. So it's a gal with a youngish gal, from what it appears in this photo. And she says, a coworker asked for my number the other day. My friends overheard and said he must have a thing for Indians. I was like, or maybe I'm just really effing cool. Good for her. I'm glad that she spoke up and said she's cool, because she looks pretty rad. And then another youngish young man, from what it appears, he says, I wonder why bad things happen to me. And he said, probably because I'm a bad person. Well, that's sad. And then two boys that look like they're brothers. No, actually. So it says his dad died a few months ago in a motorcycle accident. We were talking about his father a few days ago, and he asked me why the world is like it is. I didn't know how to answer him. So it might be a mentor, like a big brother, big sister type of program, but it appears that the older kid is like being helpful to the younger kid. And that's something that we had talked about too, Rachel, is like, sometimes we don't know the answer to why.
Right.
You know? Right. And we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. So, so glad you were here, friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. So friends, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your continued love, light, and support. My name is Chidima, also known as the Type A Hippie. Namaste.